What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 21st, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Guys, it's draft weekend. We have the best live draft assistant on the market. It's the most beautiful one. We have a Google Sheet for those who want really in-depth information with their projections, market values, and if you want just something nice and easy for your 12-teamers, you should get our gorgeous-looking one. It's only for PL Pro members. Get 15% off with promo code PODCAST. That's 15% off for PL Pro yearly. From yesterday, Ryan Weathers is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, and it stinks. He has a forearm strain. Don't care about the replacements, Connor Galipsey and Jansen Junk. Does not matter. Don't do it. Jordan Wicks is not the SP5 for the Cubs. He's been demoted to AAA, so maybe it's Ben Brown. Maybe it's Colin Ray. We don't know. I'm not interested in either one. Andrew Abbott won't be ready for opening day. It will be Carson Spires as the SP5 there. I'm not very interested in that one. And you have Max Scherzer. He's going to be testing out his arm tomorrow on Saturday. If that goes well, he will be the fifth starter, or he will be starting for the Jays without a hitch entering the start of the year. Speaking of the Jays, Bowden Francis went 5.1 innings of one run yesterday, 3 over 18 splitter whiffs, but he got 72 strikes on it, and we have 9 out of 50 whiffs on the four-seam, which is nice. Is that enough for me to get into it? It's not quite. I'm not a huge fan of Bowden Francis. I just don't really think that this is enough of a two-pitch mix, as the other pitches, the curve, the slider, all that stuff, not very good. Taj Bradley isn't showing me enough for me to think that this is going to be a breakout year for him, sadly. And I just saw yesterday with 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 9 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. The cutter was still a little bit more erratic. He did get 15 out of 78 whiffs on that cutter and 4 seamers, but I just don't want to do this. 41% strikes on 17 splitters and not a single whiff on them. It's just more of the same. Plus, you're going to the Trop. It's a worse situation this year for Taj Bradley. I'm not going to buy into this. Jansen Junk, as I mentioned before, he went 3.2 innings of one run. You don't care about this. Martin Perez, 4 innings, 0 runs. He looks like he's commanding well. He's just a little bit down in velocity, but there may be some value as a Vargas Rule or a Toby in your 15-teamers. Just pick your spots, essentially. You have Chris Paddock, who's actually a target of mine all of a sudden because he gets the Chicago White Sox as his fourth start of the year. Chicago White Sox, I mean, Monday. Go get Chris Paddock for that. He's looking really good right now. 95 miles per hour plus. That's over 2 ticks higher. Actually, at 2 ticks higher than last year. 18 to 19 inches of vert on that four-seamer. That's nearly 2 inches extra rise on it. 7 feet of extension is very similar to Casey Mize. 9 over 39 whiffs on that four-seamer because he located it really well upstairs. Now, for the entire season, I'm not that in because he doesn't really have a good strike pitch to go for outside the fastball. The curveball and slider combined for 14 over 28 strikes. Each of them was 7 there in 7 for 14. While the changeup was 58% strikes, it did do well. Nice location down, but it's just not quite the pitch. But because that fastball is so good, I think he can take down the White Sox. That is a good stream to start the year, and then you can just kind of take it from there. Sean Newcomb is looking like he's going to be in the rotation for the Red Sox. I know. How's it do with Fitz and with Priester and with Criswell? Well, Criswell won't do it. He just went 1 innings yesterday, so that's not going to be him. With Sean Newcomb, 4.2 innings of 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Unfortunately, he's not doing anything that interesting. It's like 91 on the fastball. He has a new cutter he's throwing inside to right-handers. Sure, that's fine. The curve is not that good. It wasn't amazing back in the day, and it's not really any better now. So I will not go for Sean Newcomb. I think it's just one of those feel-good stories where he's going to go like 2 starts as they wait for Bayo, Crawford, Giolito to be ready. Kumar Rocker versus Adrian Hauser for that fifth spot in Texas, as we do believe it is Jack Leiter. Well, Kumar Rocker went 4.2 innings of 2 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 8 strikeouts, 831 whiffs on the curveball with a 97.2 mile per hour fastball, but only 58% strikes on that fastball. And it's weird to see no sliders, really 5 of them thrown. It's kind of weird. I don't think that Kumar Rocker is polished, unfortunately, and I would think the Rangers would go for their NRI Adrian Hauser so they don't lose that depth. And Patrick Corbin's going to take some time to be ready, probably like May 1st or something along those lines. So Adrian Hauser, in the meantime, sounds exactly like what they want. And that was 3.2 innings of 4 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks for Hauser yesterday. Velocity came down to 93 on the sinker and 94 on the four-seamer. We've been seeing them both about a tick to 2 ticks higher this year, really on that sinker closer to 95, while the four-seamer about 95 and change. That's not good, but the locations were generally solid, and I think that he does deserve this. Dane Dunning was 3.1 innings of 5 runs. He's their long man, and they do not want to actually have him go deep into these games. So no, I don't think that Dane Dunning is going to take over any of this unless that's a very backup option. Germán Márquez exists, and I'm just happy for him. Enjoy time during the season. I also think that Nick Pivetta, though, 5 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks in 5 Ks. Pivetta should be on your radar, at least near the end of drafts. He's not getting drafted very highly. I think he could be a very good April arm. San Diego is known for not allowing home runs in early in the season, which is Pivetta's biggest problem. He's also featuring 93 instead of 94, but getting more cut action now, which actually could be a good thing. It is still kind of curves and sliders and sweepers and stuff for right-handers, and I'm not really in love with that, but I want to be more curves than sweepers still. I think the Pivetta can work out really well at the beginning of the year. Graham Ashcraft will not be in the rotation. He's in relief and pitched 3 shutout innings in relief. That's nice. Good for him. That's where he belongs. Chris Bubich had a terrible game. 3.2 innings of 6 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. And here's the problem. You're probably not going to see him again until he makes his start in the majors, which might not be until Tuesday, April 1st. So you have to make the decision now. Are we in on Chris Bubich or not? And his changeup was located well. Well, it was down, but it wasn't away enough. It was just 2 for 23 whiffs. The four-seamer was down to 92 and not 93 that he had as a reliever. And by the way, it was 93 all of spring until this. So a little weird there. Lower on the extension. Normally, he's around 7 feet. He was at 6.7. I think it's a scenario where you're not going to see Chris Bubich go in your 12-teamers. And he's going to be going later in the draft and or not at all, really. And that means that you can pick him up if your opening weekend guy doesn't work out. If Chris Paddock doesn't look good on that Monday, you can even drop him and go for Chris Bubich just to see how first one goes against Milwaukee in Milwaukee. And then he would get the Twins after. So that might be a good one there. All right. We have an interesting thing going on in Oakland. I'm going to talk about that and Kodai Senga after this break. We have the Athletics. Joey Estes was named the starter over Mitch Spence, right? It was Estes and Bidot over Spence. However, Estes allowed 8 earned runs, 11 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts in 5 innings. He was over a tick down as well to 91.4. Actually, he's exactly a tick. Is it really going to be Estes? I know that they announced that, but like that wasn't good. While Spence came in relief, 2 innings of 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, 4 strikeouts, had a 92.5 mile per hour cutter. That's over 2 ticks higher. Maybe that's just because of relief a little bit. But no, we've been seeing that most of the season, or at least the spring season. 3 out of 4 whiffs on that slider as well. And it should be Spence. Make it Spence, please. On the other side of that game was Zach Gallen. 4.1 innings of 1 earned run, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. And I've been seeing Gallen actually go down in drafts. And it's kind of interesting because I think earlier on in the offseason, a lot of people were buying back in on Zach Gallen saying, look, that 126 whip is not real. We think it's going to be better. And I do think it should be better. However, the secondaries are still not really that good outside of the curveball. The curveball is still a whiff pitch for him, and that will always be one. So how is the fastball going to be better and not hit hard if the changeup and slider are not really amazing? And the thing is, this four-seamer, yes, it did add an inch of vert to about 17, or actually about 18 inches. But it is spring training. Verlander's talked about the Cactus League kind of adding an inch of vert, so don't really care about that. And also, the heater's down 1.5 ticks to 92.4. We've seen Gallen ramp up. Look, I think Gallen is going to be like your Seth Lugo. Like, you shouldn't drop Gallen during the year, and I really don't think it should be that bad of a whip. It should probably be like 118 or so. I just don't think he's going to be a 26% strikeout rate guy, which means that Zach Gallen isn't a guy I want to go for my drafts. Hopefully becomes that Holly, which is good enough ratios and gets you strikeouts. So I might actually be getting him as my SP4 at times, because if the pitching is getting pushed further up earlier on, that means Gallen actually falls as guys are going for hitters at the times that he would normally go. All right, you have Zach Thompson appearing for Atlanta. 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Whoa! Ian Anderson and Bryce Elder and AJ Smith-Shawver were the ones going for SP5, but maybe Zach Thompson? Probably not. I mean, probably not. I remember him with the Cardinals? Well, it's kind of interesting. No data, unfortunately. Tomoyuki Sugano. I got to get better at that one. I'm so sorry, Sugano. You deserve better. Right-hander for the Orioles. 4.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. I watched this against the Yankees. Was not too impressed. Fastballs are too easy to hit. Yes, he has a very good changeup against lefties. I don't think there's quite enough there for me to say, yes, you want him as a Toby. As a streamer, pick your spots. Sure, I think he can get you a win. but I don't think that Sugano is someone that I'm going to be getting at the end of my 12-teamer drafts. And Will Warren was on the other side. We know it's going to be Cookie Carrasco getting that fifth spot for the Yankees, as he should, because he's an NRI. Then the Yankees have no depth. It makes sense. 3.2 innings of 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. Oh boy. Not a fun one. And yeah, we'll see you later in the season, Will Warren. I have not said this name yet. Shinosuke Ogasawara. I think I got it. 8 earned runs in 3.2 innings. He will not be starting. It's Michael Soroka. We know this. Poor guy. Hopefully he's in relief, or maybe it's in AAA and they're just going to keep him stretched out when they need more volume later on in the year. But on the other side was Kodai Senga. No TV, no Statcast, no reports of anything outside. Yeah, he felt good. It stinks because I wish I knew more. 3.2 innings of 0 runs, 0 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks for Kodai Senga. Oh my gosh, I wish I knew more because it was so bad last time for Kodai Senga. It was like 92 and change and everything was all over the place. It looked not like good Kodai Senga, and I haven't seen good Kodai Senga for ages, save for that game before he hurt his calf last year. So what? I want to say things are good. I wish we got one more data point before the start of the year, but we don't. So what do we do? This could be an absolute steal of a draft pick or a wasted one. And, So yeah, that's where I am right now in Kodai Senga. It is very tough. I'm leaning go for it still and just treat it like nothing's going on. That's what projections are doing. But we will see. That's Kodai Senga. And that is it for today's episode. I know it was a very quick one, but I had very limited time. I'm glad I got one done. I hope to see you guys in the Discord. If you have extra questions for your draft weekend, I've updated the draft guide a little bit to reflect all the injuries that have happened, but hit us up on our Discord. Check out PL Pro. Really, I can't express enough. All of our apps, all of our things are right there. We respond to all those questions super well. Scott Chu and Kyle Bland and Rick Graham are all there to help you draft weekend. So best of luck. Get 15% off with code PODCAST. Go to pitchers.com/premium. Sign up for PL Pro yearly and use that code CAPITALS PODCAST to get 15% off. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.